August 16th, 2011. Gritty girl, check out my sports box. 10. I wanted to get into the goalkeeper position, and I realized I need to do a better overview of the actual game and how it's played. So I found from jbgoalkeeping.com, laws of the game. Law 1, the field of play. Although the soccer field and its markings are often taken for granted by the players, unless there is something obviously wrong, it can be helpful for the goalkeeper to know the dimensions of the lines on the field. A goalkeeper will use these lines more than anyone else on the field to determine their positioning. Before the game, scan the lines and make sure they are all square and at proper distances. In particular, the penalty spot is often not marked or mismarked. If it is off, don't use it as a guide to get centered in goal. We skip to Law 4, the player's equipment. Law 4 says each goal player wears colors which distinguish him from the other players, the referee and the assistant referees. This is the only requirement. Tradition allows the keeper to use that is not specified for field players, gloves, long pants, or hats. The referee always has final say on what is allowable. If he deems something to be unsafe, it may not be worn. From Law 4 to Law 8. Law 8 is the start and restart of play. Law 8 has a section called Special Circumstances that players, especially goalkeepers, should be aware of. It has to do with the placement of the ball on free kicks inside the goal area. Essentially, any free kick for the defense inside their own goal area is like a goal kick. It may be taken from anywhere in the goal area and must leave the penalty area before it is in play. For indirect free kicks for attackers in the opponent's goal area, the kick is taken from the goal area, line parallel to the goal line, at the point nearest to where the foul occurred. Thus, no free kick can be taken from closer than 6 yards to the goal. Law 9, the ball in and out of play. Although he is a bit more mobile than the goalposts, the referee is considered to be part of the soccer field when it comes to play. A ball rebounding off the referee, or off an assistant referee, if for the same reason they are on the field of play, is still in play. Law 10, the method of scoring. Simple as it seems, I have come across players who did not know that the entire ball must be past the goal line for the goal to count. The outside of the chalked line is the true boundary. The whole of the ball must pass over this boundary. The back of the goal post should be set even with the outside of the goal line so that the goal frames are actually considered on the field of play, and the ball must be completely clear, and the ball must completely clear the post and crossbar to be a goal. Law 12, fouls and misconduct. Calls involving fouls and misconduct are the most argued about and disputed in any game of soccer. All players need to remember that all fouls and misconduct are strictly in the opinion of the referee. If the referee has made a decision, it seldom does any good to argue about it. Better to let it go and concentrate on the task at hand, setting the defensive wall, preparing for the penalty kick. Direct free kick. The goalkeeper is subject to the same laws regarding kicking, tripping, holding, pushing, tackling, etc. as all the other players on the field. Although the laws don't give the keeper any special privileges, most referees realize that keepers often put themselves at considerable peril in the thick of play and give them some leeway. However, don't use that as license to commit mayhem in the penalty area. An example of this is the goalkeeper using the knee when going for high balls. As stated, the knee is used to generate height and provide some protection, not as a weapon. A referee who feels the keeper's knee is being kicked dangerously can call the keeper for jumping or changing, and the result would be a penalty kick, if not a yellow or red card in addition. Indirect free kicks. There are four offenses in Law 12, especially aimed at the goalkeeper. An indirect free kick is awarded to the opposing team if the keeper in the penalty area commits one of the following. Takes more than 6 seconds after controlling the ball with the hands to release the ball into play. 6 seconds is not hard and fast. Referees are instructed not to count or signal publicly, and first offenses are usually given verbal warnings. But 6 seconds is plenty of time to settle the ball, jog up to the edge of the penalty area, and find an outlet. During the 6 seconds, the goalkeeper can move anywhere in the penalty area. Don't get caught by this law. Instead, use it as a reason to work on quick counterattacks. Touches the ball with the hands after releasing it into play before the ball has been touched by another player. Bouncing or softly tossing and catching the ball are not considered releasing the ball into play. But why even risk it? Bouncing the soccer ball is a holdover from olden days where a goalkeeper was able to move in the penalty area if they bounced the ball, similar to a basketball dribble. That rule no longer applies. So once the keeper has the ball safely in their hands, they should hang on to it until they are ready to deliver it downfield. Touches the ball with the hands after it has been deliberately kicked by him by a teammate. Kicked to him by a teammate. The italicized above is the direct quote from the FIFA laws and is often misunderstood. Remember the intent of the law, which is to prevent time wasted by the defense. As such, only a deliberate kick by a teammate, either to the goalkeeper or to a place where the goalkeeper can safely pick the ball up, should be penalized. An accidental deflection of a defender's foot or a missed clearance that falls to the goalkeeper should not be penalized. But as always, deliberate is in the opinion of the referee. So if in doubt, don't pick the ball up, unless the ball is at risk of going into the net. If you don't use your hands, in that case, better to concede an indirect kick than a goal. Touches the ball with the hands directly from a throw-in from a teammate. The goalkeeper may still be used as a target for throw-in, but they must handle the ball with their feet like any other player. An indirect free kick can also be given to the goalkeeper's team if an opponent prevents the ball from being released into the play by the keeper. This is seldom called, but it is good to know the keeper gets a little protection of the laws. Finally, it is an indirect kick if an opponent plays in a dangerous manner. This applies not only to endangering an opponent, for example, high boot, but also to endangering oneself. This is why the player on the ground is called for this. They have put themselves in harm's way. By tradition, the goalkeeper is given leeway here and is allowed to put themselves in positions that would be dangerous for any other player on the field. For example, sliding at the feet of an attacker. Law 13, free kicks. Direct and indirect kicks offer in one respect. A direct kick that goes into the net without being touched is counted as a goal. An indirect kick must be touched by another player on either team in order to count. Indirect kicks are signaled by the referee raising one arm straight above his head. Look for this signal. If it is not given, assume a direct kick. If in doubt, ask the referee. Most will also inform you verbally. Occasionally, an attacker will not realize a kick is indirect and shoot straight at the net. In this case, if it is difficult to save, the keeper should just let the ball go and rather than risk deflecting the ball in themselves and providing the touch that let the goal stand. But he absolutely sure it is indirect and nobody but the shooter touched the ball. If in doubt, try to make the save. And by the way, an indirect kick that goes into the net without being touched is awarded a goal kick. Any free kick from within the penalty area must leave the penalty area before it is considered in play. Everybody knows that the defenders must be 10 yards from the spot of a free kick, but what about on an indirect free kick that is less than 10 yards from the goal, subject to those special circumstances? And Law 8? In this case, defenders are permitted to be closer than 10 yards provided they are on the goal line and between the goal post. This kind of situation doesn't happen much, but it can come up, and it would be wise that the keeper knows how to set the defense if this happens. Law 14, penalty kicks. The only time during a game a goalkeeper should be standing on the goal line is during a penalty kick. That is only because the law says so. Goalkeepers are allowed to move side to side along the goal line, but not to move forward until the ball is struck. Why is this law disregarded so often? Moving forward offers a goalkeeper a host of advantages, from a better catching position to narrowing the size of the net the shooter sees. Why isn't it called more often? Tradition, mostly. This is one of the most inconsistently called laws in the book, especially for one that isn't even a matter of opinion. Until FIFA decides referees are going to enforce this one to the letter, or the rule is rewritten, you will have to live with the inconsistency of penalty kicks. Gritty girls, check out my sports box, laws of soccer as they go pertaining to the goalkeeper, how to understand the goalkeeper better, the laws of the game. October 16th, 2011, copyright Ryan Diane Adams.